Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is a returning favorite, Bill Federer. He's a best-selling author and very popular speaker, highly sought after, and he ran for Congress. And I want to talk to him about elections. I know this is being recorded in 2019, but before you know it, 2020 will be here, and we'll be hearing a lot about the elections. And Bill, first of all, let me say welcome back to the program.
Hey, great to be with you.
And you know a lot about the political process, so I want to pick your brain. What are we to make with these polls which show that whatever leading Democrat candidate, even avowed socialist Bernie Sanders, they all beat Donald Trump in a matchup? What does that mean?
Well, there's lots of different ways to do polling, and you can poll likely voters, registered voters, or just the general populace. There's also push polls where you do selective polling to find out what will cause someone to change their mind. So they'll often call saying, would you vote for this candidate if you knew that they were philandering or doing fraud or involved in wife beating or something? And as soon as you say, oh, yeah, that would make me change my mind, they say, thank you. That's what we're going to do our commercial on. And so lo and behold, they design a commercial to portray that candidate. So polls are done for different purposes. And another way is polls are done to sway public opinion. Human beings are group creatures. We sort of want to fit in with the group. Now Jesus calls us out of the group and says, you have to love me more than being accepted by your brother, sister, mothers, and so forth. But nevertheless, as a whole, human beings want to fit in with the group. And so if the perception is the group thinks this is a bad idea and the group likes this, there's a peer pressure that comes upon a person to switch their views to support a different candidate. I suspect this early on, those polls that you mentioned were the last category, that they were polls designed to sway public opinion, favoring the candidates that are behind the polling. Oftentimes, they'll pay for polls or have friends that own polling companies that'll release polls, and they can do one of these selective polls of to sway public opinion. And it's a very real thing.
The thing that's scary, though, about this is that on the one hand, the only poll that really counts is the poll that actually takes place on election day, or I guess in the days leading up to the election day with early voting. And it's the actual casting of ballots. So in other words, it's not people participating in some sort of survey by phone or, you know, somewhere. I don't know how they do these polls. It's the actual voting. It's the actual voting. That's right. The only poll that really counts. But here's the scary part.
Go to the poll.
Yeah, right. But here's the scary part, though, is that with the last election, the presidential election, the left, you know, hearing all the time, no matter what poll it was, Hillary always won. Right. And here Trump wins. So now they're saying, oh, Trump cheated. Somehow he colluded with the Russians, you know, whatever. We just know that this can't be the correct results because look at all these polls. All of them said that Hillary's going to beat Trump.
Right. And it's interesting that even some of the people that worked for Google and Facebook say that big tech swung millions of votes for Hillary. That they actually admitted it. How do they do that? Well, at the last minute, people do their Google searches and they want to find out about candidates. You type in a name, it'll segregate and pull up negative articles about candidates they don't want. And it'll pull up positive articles about candidates that they do want. And so just by giving search results, The people who have worked inside of those big corporations say that big tech swung millions of votes for Hillary. So when you say Hillary won the popular vote, that's a very hard to defend term when you realize that the popular vote was manipulated by big tech.
That's a very interesting point of perspective. Okay, now, so when you hear these polls, okay, Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren, when matched up with Trump, Pete Buttigieg, a mayor of a city, and apparently that city's got some problems, is not doing, you know, so great under his leadership, but even he beats Donald Trump. What are we to make of these polls, Bill?
Right. Well, again, I think that they're manipulative polls, that they are probably not polling. There's a book that we even studied in college, How to Lie with Statistics. I mean, there are so many ways to do polls and samplings that you can twist it to say what you want. How you present the question, how you present the matchup.
Okay,
one of the interesting surveys that they do on college campuses, and they'll say, did you know Trump did this? And the person said, yeah, he's terrible. And they say, oh, no, wait a second. All those things is what Obama did. And they're like, oh, well, I guess they're okay then.
Yeah.
I mean, we have such an uneducated populace. You know, back to most world history, kings ruled, and you did what the king said or he'd kill you. You have very few instances of people ruling themselves without a king. Ancient Israel, ancient Rome, but one of the first was ancient Greece. And so this is where you have democracy. Demos means people, krasi means rule. The people rule. The word citizen means co-king. They had 6,000 citizens of that in Athens, and they would get together in the marketplace called the Agora, and they would decide what's going to happen for their city. Well, if you have an agenda, how do you pitch your agenda to 6,000 people? That's when they invented theater. They'd get everybody in the city together in these big outdoor theaters, and they would put on plays, comedies, tragedies, satires, where they would ridicule and buffoon certain points of view and certain politicians and even name them by name. And then they would honor and extol other points of view as being noble and honorable. People would leave the theater thinking, I don't want to be like that poor guy that was ridiculed to death. And the other person, boy, they were noble. And since people want to fit in with the group, Saul Alinsky says ridicule is the most powerful weapon. You want to isolate and target and destroy someone, and that causes everyone else that holds those views to back away from them. And so this has been developed into media, what they call fake news, and theater, Hollywood. If you think of it, your favorite TV show, they have a character that you like, and they're cute, they're funny, they're the hero. And as the series goes on, or maybe the TV show goes on, this character begins to make morally compromising decisions. A little cheating here, a little lust, a little lie, a little revenge, and you find yourself apologizing for them. Mm. And yeah, I know James Bond is with a woman he's not married to, but he's about to save the world. So can we get on with the story? And so it minimizes something that used to be a really important value in your life, marital fidelity, and now it's sort of a minor thing. And so what happens is then they portray people that hold old traditional values as hateful and bumpkins and backwards and idiots and slow, and you turn off the TV thing, and I don't want to be like that guy that looked like a fool. And this other person, oh, yeah, he was cool. He was noble. And so this Greek theater is now put into every one of our homes through media and even social media, where they'll say they have bots now, which are computer programs, that can artificially create likes and, you know, approval ratings that's artificially generated. But yet people see that and think, well, gee, everybody likes this candidate and people really don't like that candidate. And this peer pressure model goes into effect. This is, they actually did a study. It was a German, 1950, psychiatrist, and they would pull students into a room, and everybody was in on the experiment except one student. And he would have two cards in the front of the table. One had one line and the other had three lines. And the three line one of the three lines was exactly the same length as the one line card. And then one was shorter, one was longer. And so they would ask the students which one was the same. And the unsuspecting student would find the one that was exactly the same. But yet they would go around the room, and they would have every other student stand up and say that one of the other lines was the same. It comes around to this student. He changes his view to match the group. because he didn't want to risk being made fun of, and he doubted his own perception.
Right.
And so this concept, this peer pressure of wanting to fit in with the group, is where we see these polls fitting in, is where we see the social media fitting in, and they've manipulated it. So it is a very powerful tool to use during elections.
Yeah, this is very interesting, too, because thank God that we have our ballot casting done in a way that people can't see how we're voting. It's done in secret. If people had to vote in a way in which, you know, it was known who or what, how you were voting for, then people might be intimidated to vote in a way that would violate their own conscience. So, for example, there may be people who would personally and publicly say, oh, I would never vote for somebody like Donald Trump. But then when they actually get to the ballot box, they vote for Donald Trump, not because they think he's a racist, but because they like the fact that he's pro-life, and they like the fact that he's strong on defense, and they like the fact that he's for law and order and, you know, closing the borders, you know, et cetera. But if these things are said publicly, they would be shamed into voting a different way.
Right. And so we, you know, whatever computer virus you stop, they come up with another virus. So we have the anonymous ballot, which is great. But once you make elections anonymous, you cannot have accountability. And so it opens the door for voter fraud.
Oh, wow.
And so now we've moved in the direction of computerized voting. There's no way to verify it because you can't trace the vote back to the actual person. And so there's a dozen different ways of doing voter fraud. And so we see where they'll have computer glitches, or they'll, you know, have dead people voting, or they'll even have foreign hackers into the election machines and so forth, because most of the election machines are made outside of America, and they can put in their, you know, trapdoor programs where everything works great except on election day with a certain code. They can access it and change the outcome to a predetermined ratio and so forth. There's been lawsuits on this. What's the answer? Eternal vigilance. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty, which means we all have to be involved. We have to be aware of their tactics. One of the tactics that gets overlooked is called psychological projection. This is where Sigmund Freud coined the term. He's a psychologist, where rude and hateful people call everybody they don't like rude and hateful. We've all met someone like that, right? And so they apply this politically, where the hate groups will call those they don't like hate groups. They'll even put a list up on the internet of all the groups that they hate because they're the haters. And then they label the ones they hate as hate groups. So this is this concept where you accuse your opponent of what you're guilty of. David Axelrod was the previous president's campaign manager. He was on NPR Radio 2010. He gives a interview. And he says, in Chicago politics, we have a tradition where you throw a brick through your own campaign office window and then call a press conference to accuse your opponent of doing it. And so this strategy, it's playing defense by playing offense. So in other words, if you're a candidate and you're colluding with Russia, maybe giving away a fifth of the U.S. uranium in exchange for $145 million contributions to your foundation, if you're guilty of colluding with Russians, you accuse your opponent of colluding with the Russians. The opponent has to go on the defensive. You use the investigative process to destroy all the evidence that could convict you, destroy the hard drives, destroy the laptops, destroy the emails and the text messages and so forth. But it's this concept that we need to be made aware of, that whenever you see a group saying, pointing the finger and saying, that person is intolerant, that person is hateful, look at the person that is pointing the finger. More often than not, they are the ones that are guilty of the crime, and they're trying to hide it. Little kids do this, right?
We have 10 seconds left.
The fight, and
10
the
seconds.
Says, I didn't do it. You started it, you know.
Yeah, that's excellent point. Bill Federer, AmericanMinute.com. Bill, thank you. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Jerry.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye now.